morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. We've already seen this video, so I will skip this. And he already mentioned about the problems and prevalence of obesity, childhood obesity, so let me skip this. Previous studies have found some risk factors for obesity in terms of at the various levels, including individual, behavior, family, household, and neighborhood, as well as at the various time, at the various different timing of life course, including prenatal, infancy, early childhood, and adulthood. Among these risk factors, birth weight and duration, birth weight and duration of gestation has been widely utilized as an index for infant growth status at birth that captures impact from prenatal and perinatal period and directly and indirectly affect the risk of obesity during the rest of life. Many studies have examine the association between infant growth status at birth and obesity. Fetal origin hypothesis emphasizes the factors in utero are responsible to the risk of obesity. However, empirical evidence seems to be inconclusive. Some studies have found supportive evidence for fetal origin hypothesis, while others found some opposite result. For example, individuals who had adverse birth outcome may have less likely to be obese during early childhood, especially during early childhood. Among many reasons that explain the currently existing mixed evidence on this area, today, I'd like to focus on the measurement issue. Infant growth status at birth has been interchangeably measured by birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age, or any combination in many studies from various areas. However, few studies have examined the exchangeability of the measures for infant growth status at birth, so that it is unclear yet how this different usage of infant growth status at birth might impact on the causal inference between infant growth status at birth and the risk of obesity. Therefore, the objective of this study is evaluate the interchangeability of birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age as a predictor of child growth and obesity. First, we describe the mean childhood body mass index percentiles in groups defined by birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age. Secondly, we utilize this information to identify which categories of birth weight, gestational age, or weight for gestational age classify infants most homogeneously with respect to BMI percentile in childhood. Finally, we utilize this information to estimate the impact of infant growth status at birth on the risk of obesity. We utilize the data from early childhood longitudinal study birth cohort, which is a nationally representative longitudinal study for the 2001 U.S. birth cohort, providing detailed information on children's early life experience at birth, 9 months, 2 years, preschool, and the entry of kindergarten. The final study sample consists of around 7,000 infants. After excluding multiple births, infants with gestational age less than 23 weeks or more than 41 weeks, and infants with missing or biologically implausible value of BMI for age. As an outcome measure, we captured child growth was measured by BMI percentile at the latest assessment, and OLS regression was utilized to analyze it. The risk of obesity was measured by dichotomous obesity status at the latest assessment, and logistic regression was utilized to analyze it. We plot each individual in the sample cohort, in the study cohort, into this figure. By gestational age and birth weight. X-axis indicates the gestational age measured by weeks. Y-axis indicates birth weight measured by grams. Each dot over here indicates each infant in the sample cohort with corresponding gestational age and birth weight. For example, in this case, in this infant was born 28 weeks with birth weight would be more than 3,500 grams. Birth weight categories that utilize the information, only birth weight information, categorize infants as low birth weight, normal birth weight, and high birth weight. Birth weight category captures the impact from both fetal growth and the duration of gestation. Gestational age category, which utilizes the duration of gestation, categorizes infant as preterm and term birth, and it captures the impact from duration of gestation. Weight for gestational age category, which utilizes both information from gestational age and fetal growth, categorizes infant group as a small for gestational age, appropriate gestational age, and large for gestational age. Therefore, this weight for gestational age information captures the independent impact of fetal growth. Using all three measures, we identified 8 mutually exclusive risk groups in terms of birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age. For example, the group 1 indicates infants born preterm, small for gestational age, and low birth weight. The reference group indicates infants born term, appropriate gestational age, and normal birth weight. The risk group 7 indicates infants born term and high birth weight and large for gestational age. During the analysis, we also adjusted for several set of covariates that include child characteristics, obstetric conditions or outcomes, maternal characteristics, household characteristics. So first, we describe the mean BMI percentile in groups for birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age. Risk group 1 that consists with infants of preterm, small for gestational age, and low birth weight have significantly lower BMI percentile as compared to the reference group. This group actually shows the lowest BMI percentile among all of 8 mutually exclusive groups. Whereas infants, the highest BMI percentile were found among infants who were born term, large for gestational age, and high birth weight as compared to the reference group. Infant group who were born preterm, appropriate gestational age, and normal birth weight, the BMI percentile was not that different from the reference group. This table summarizes the BMI percentile by risk groups, and as you can, and also we provide some statistical tests for the difference of BMI percentile as compared to the reference group. It shows that each group of infants has different mean BMI percentile in general. Secondly, we utilize this information to identify which categories of birth weight, gestational age, or weight for gestational age classifies infants more homogeneous with respect to BMI percentile. So Low birth weight category consists of these three groups of infants, group 1, 2, and 4, which BMI percentile are considerably different from each other. This implies that low birth weight category may categorize infants in a very heterogeneous way. Small for gestational age, the story goes the same. Small for gestational age categorization may include very heterogeneous infant group with respect to the BMI percentile within the same category. The same in normal birth weight group categorization and appropriate gestational age categorization. Now we realized we measured infant growth status at birth by utilizing both two measures at the same time. So first, we utilized both gestational age information and weight for gestational age information to identify the risk group in terms of BMI percentile that may associate with the risk of obesity. Secondly, we used both gestational age and birth weight category in the same model. When using weight for gestational age and gestational category, the first category would be preterm and small for gestational age, which consists only one group, which means in terms of BMI percentile, this group consists of very homogeneously. However, when using gestational age and birth weight category, preterm and low birth weight categories consist of two groups, which may exhibit different BMI percentile in terms of different BMI percentile, indicating this group might be heterogeneous. Term and age 8, these two groups have similar BMI percentile, which means this categorization are homogeneous in terms of BMI percentile. Term and normal birth weight, this classification introduced some heterogeneity within categorization. So, the risk categories were heterogeneous with respect to the BMI percentile when using one of birth weight, gestational age, weight for gestational age, or both gestational age and birth weight as a proxy for infant growth status at birth. However, the risk categorization were relatively homogeneous with respect to the BMI percentile when using both gestational age and weight for gestational age as a proxy for the infant growth status at birth. Lastly, we estimate the impact of infant growth status at birth on the risk of obesity using continuous measures of birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age. So this table summarizes the result from logistic regression that estimate impact of infant growth status at birth on the risk of obesity. So in the separate model that include only birth weight, gestational age, and weight for gestational age respectively, each measure of infant growth status at birth was positively associated with the risk of obesity, as we expected. When using both the weight for gestational age and gestational age in the same model, the magnitude and the direction of estimate were relatively similar to the separate model shown in over here. However, when using both of birth weight and gestational age at the same model, as we can see, the magnitude of birth weight were inflated, and the direction of the impact of gestational age was opposite than expected. So this might be happen due to some potential multicollinearity and correlation between the measure of birth weight and gestational age. It does not happen in this measure, that measure using weight for gestational age and gestational age, because by definition, these two measures are statistically independent by definition. So in summary, the risk category were relatively homogeneous when using both gestational age and weight for gestational age as a proxy for infant growth status at birth. In other measurements, they were heterogeneous. Using birth weight and gestational age together in the same model may introduce potential bias. In categorical models, misclassification and heterogeneity within the category, as I shown before, then I explain the potential bias in this case. In continuous matter, the potential multicollinearity between these two measures may explain why the bias might happen. This finding was relatively same regardless of categorical or continuous definition of its measures. So my conclusion is, when available, using both gestational age and weight for gestational age as indicator for infant growth status efforts might be appropriate, since it classifies infants as more homogeneous groups and it separates the effect from fetal growth part, which is measured by weight for gestational age, and duration of gestation, which is measured by gestational age. So, in conclusion, in terms of the causal inference between infant growth status efforts and the risk of obesity, risk of childhood obesity, this study concludes that infants born small or early were at the decreased risk of obesity during early childhood. This concludes my presentation today. Thanks for listening. I'm open to any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Just one question, please.
So each age, for the infants, CDC provided the growth chart that BMI percentile defined by each age, right? That is correct. So CDC and HWO provide the growth chart from age zero, but their recommendations for utilizing this information would be after 2 years. So, but anyway, I utilized that information, and in most cases, that the latest BMI percentile were measured after 2 years, depending on the growth chart provided by CDC.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.